Turn your Bibles, will, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And we continue the message from this morning. And here in John chapter 3, verse number 13, the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to Nicodemus. And I, as I mentioned this morning, believe he's changing, kind of shifting gears with him and talking to him from the standpoint of being a man in need of salvation. He says to him, "No man hath ascended up to heaven. There's no man that's made a way." If what we see in the Scripture and believe there, and Nicodemus's inability to understand the Lord and what the Lord's saying about the new birth, about the moving of the Spirit, and such as that, he was a man that was without the Spirit of God, and he was a man, no doubt, trusting in his own works and what he could do to be acceptable before God. And so the Lord tells him here, you can't make your own way, Nicodemus. You need the one that's made a way. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He's the one that's made a way, the Lord Jesus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And salvation is by grace through faith, repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That thing of repentance is our acknowledgement before God that we are guilty, we are condemned, pardon me, we have no hope in and of ourselves, and that we need Christ, the one that was crucified for sinners. And we claim his promise, and we claim what he has done, that he made the atonement, that he's that Lamb, that sacrifice, he's the high priest that offered it, he's the altar, he's all those things rolled up into one, and that we need his salvation. It is he, by him, is the only one that we can be saved, where we can be saved, the only name given amongst men whereby we might be saved. And we ask here, you know, why did Moses lift up the serpent? You know, and so we took a look in Numbers about the people there and the soul of the people being discouraged. We took a look at why they were discouraged in the way, because Edom had said, no, you can't go that way. We saw even the discouragement and of Moses and Aaron there and the providing of the water. We saw that the complaint there was by the children of those that had come out of Egypt and in the great Exodus that's there. Well, by which the Lord delivered his nation from Egypt, where he birthed his nation there from 70 souls that went in to millions, nine to millions that came out. And just in really in short time that the Lord did that, just a couple hundred years, it seems, from what we understand from the Scripture. We saw about in their discouragement, they make a request of their cousin, Edom, and to pass through the land, and then how it was that Edom said, no, you can't pass through. There's nothing you can do that will allow you to pass through. And so they had to go around that mount that was there, and it was a rough way. We understand historically rocky, kind of hilly, on a slant, just made it tough. They were greatly discouraged. And then we saw about how they came to a point there in Numbers chapter 21. And let's take a look over there at this just to catch up from where we were this morning. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21. They came to a point that they said in verse number 5, and the people spake against God. Numbers 21:5. And the people spake against God and against Moses, just not against Moses and Aaron, but against God. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. They loathed the manna that God had provided for them for 40 years. This is the children of those that have been delivered out of Egypt. And we see in verse number 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. That they're chiding against God. They're complaining about their fear of dying in the wilderness. Remember how it was with the original group that came out. They said, we cannot go into Canaan because though that great enemy there will destroy our children. You know, we even when it looks like to us that what we're to face, the Lord would have us to do would be a destruction of our children. We need to obey the Lord in it, because it won't be. But if it turns out that it is, then what else is there to do than obey the Lord? Amen? You know, but see, they thought, in man's thinking, they thought that it would be a destruction to their children, but it would have been a blessing and a salvation to their children. And so then the Lord used the children to go ahead and take them into the land. So he sends these fiery serpents among them for them, and their comment here, what they said about our soul loatheth this light bread, this blessed bread, this bread that had been given. It tasted like wafers made with honey, and it was just very, very pleasant. They said they hated it. They hated what God had provided. Verse number 7. Therefore the people came to Moses. Okay, verse 6, I'm sorry. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Yes, they died. Not just a threat of death, but there were those that died. That's what it took to get their attention. So, well, that's awful hard of God to do that. That's how serious God is about listening to His Word. That's how serious God is about the chastisement of His people, of His children. And we look on at that and say, wow, to cost somebody their life, that's really, really grave. That's really, really serious. Well, it is. That's how serious the Lord is about His Word. Therefore, verse 7, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. We've spoken against Him and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that He may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And so we see their complaint about this manna, and we pointed out different things. The Lord said, collect it each day, collect a certain amount for every person in your tent, and it'll be enough. And then on the sixth day, collect twice the amount, what God said. And it won't rot. Some people said, well, it'll rot. But it didn't rot. And then the Lord said, pitch out what you're done with in the evening so it doesn't remain until the morning. Throw it out. No doubt some people kept it, and it stank. That's how they knew it stank, and it bred worms, right? And so obedience of the Lord, hearing Him in His Word, the Lord, what He gives in His Word, is the way of blessing. In regards to this manna, let's see what the Lord said about this manna. And I think that this is part of the Lord's severity in this, and kind of what brings this whole thing full circle, is what the Lord Jesus says here in John chapter 6 about manna. Okay? What He says about manna. In John chapter 6, here there have been these that have been following around with the Lord. They're looking for the free lunch. And in verse number 26, we pick it up, and the Lord is then beginning to challenge them. They've been on the one side of the Sea of Galilee, the Lord having fed them, fed a multitude, worked a great miracle where thousands were fed. A testimony to the apostles that they each had a basket full apiece. They each had, above and beyond what the Lord started with, after feeding this great number of people. And so the Lord has done this. They've enjoyed that eating. They were filled. But then days waxed on, the night waxed on, the next day and so. And they're looking for the Lord, looking for that free lunch again. In verse number 26 of John 6, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. You've heard those terms, signed, sealed, and delivered. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is of the Father. He is the Savior. He is the one given by the Father to be the salvation of sinners, the Savior of His people. And so He says, don't labor for that bread. Like you're following me around, you need some greater bread than that. Verse 28, then said they unto them, they're kind of challenged in that by the Lord, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. This is one of those verses with two meanings, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. You want to work the works of God? You believe in the Lord. You believe in the one that has been sent by the Father. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And you know what? Indeed, that is the work of God, isn't it? It was as He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's the Spirit that moves and convicts sinners with the Word. And sinners are convicted of sin and granted repentance and granted faith. All the great working and operation of God. Indeed, this is the work of God. They said, therefore, in verse 30 unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? We need to hear, see a sign from you, and we'll be convinced. What dost thou work? Verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. Here you go. Here's one that you can do for us. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. It was the Father, wasn't it? It was the Father. They attributed that giving of the manna unto Moses. They said, like Moses worked a miracle, you work a miracle, and then we'll believe. But the Lord Jesus says, no, it wasn't Moses that was at work there. It was the Father. Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And who's that? That's Jesus, isn't it? He's the one. He's the bread. See, I think in them making that statement, I wonder, I'll say it that way, it won't be great, you know, dogmatic about it, but I think that their offense, their offending of the Lord and loathing that light bread after the Lord's great provision for them, the Lord was long-suffering on the front end, but they're at the end before going into Canaan. See, the Lord didn't chastise them when their parents quarreled about being brought out of Egypt and thinking there was nothing to eat and thinking that there was nothing to drink and thinking that they were going to die in the desert. He was long-suffering there. But then the children that had seen it for 20, 30, 40 years, they, having seen all the blessing and work of God, having known that they made it for 40 years in the wilderness, having ate of that miracle from heaven 6 days out of seven, saw it out there on the ground 6 days out of seven, and they said they loathed that bread, that manna that God had provided. I think that that being a type of the Lord Jesus, I think that the Father, I think that God was greatly offended at that. And why did Moses have to lift up the serpent, the brazen serpent? Because the Lord sent fiery serpents amongst them. He chastised them. They had had a witness to them. They had seen the blessing of God. And here the Lord Jesus says, my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven. Remember that, what it said in John 3? No man's made a way, but the one that's come down. He's the one that's made a way. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. They then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. We'd be glad to have some bread that we'd never have to bake, never have to go to the store for. They don't get it, do they? Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He says, I was the answer then, and I'm the answer now, and I am the spiritual answer. I'm the answer to everything that mankind needs. I'm the answer to everything that men, women, boys and girls need for the salvation of their souls. He's not talking about physical bread. But I said unto you that ye have also seen me and believe not. See, and there is the problem. They've seen me. This word seen is talking about as viewing something in a theater. Do you know that word seen there? But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. See, they've seen the Lord work and they've seen him be there, but they have not seen that he's the answer. They've not been born again. They've not believed in him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. What a great promise. Amen. The Lord's sheep will come. All that the Father has given will come. I pray we live in a day that we'll see that many will come, but it may be that few will come. But they'll come. You know what? They'll stay. Won't they? Amen. They'll come and they'll stay. Because why? They hear the shepherd's voice. And we know what the Scripture says there in John chapter 10. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. A sure promise from the Lord. It is that way. For I came down from heaven. There it is again. He made the way, coming down, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Won't lose a one. That gives us great confidence, doesn't it? The Lord will not lose a one. Now we'll look on and we say, boy, I thought they were saved. Boy, I thought that they were saved. They had Christ and they... But the Lord knows. We just need to do what the Lord would have us to do. Be a good witness. Be a good testimony. Be a provoker of love and good works to one another. Obedience of the Lord. And faithful to the Lord no matter what comes to pass. May God help us in that. This is the Father's will that sent me, verse 39, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Those that are his, he will raise up. Amen? We will be resurrected. We will live with him. We will have that new body. Verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Sinner, do you see him? Not like in the theater, but see him for you. Your need, your hope, your salvation, your sin blotted out. Your soul being granted everlasting life. The Lord's made a promise that everyone that sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and he will raise you up at the last day. Verse 41, the Jews then murmured. They fuss and they quarrel with the Lord because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Wait a minute, that was manna. Now what it was is it was a showing of what would be the bread. Just like Brother Doug's pointed out, the high priest, the king, the line of the tribe of Judah, the one, the sacrifice, the anointed. He is all those things. He is the one. And said, they murmured, said, you said you're the bread that came down from heaven. But he is. That's what that manna foreshadowed. And the Lord will make that plain here in a few verses. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? We know his daddy. We know his mama. What kind of foolishness is this? We know he's from Nazareth. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not amongst yourselves, that low talking. You know, murmuring is done by those who are cowardly. Because they just kind of mumble and murmur in the background rather than having a thought, having an opinion, and saying it when it's appropriate to say it, to make their stand. They're murmuring. Murmur not amongst yourselves. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Sinner, see how much you need the Lord? You need the Lord. Is he drawing you? I pray that he is. I pray that he does. You need salvation from the Lord. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent him, me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. You need God, sinner, as it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. That's a prophetic thing that's mentioned in the Old Testament. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Those that come to the Lord have heard it from the Lord. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father, speaking of himself. Verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath, present tense, everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they died eating that bread, and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Don't despise the Word of God. Everybody that we've looked at in the course of these two messages that despise the Word of God, they bore the chastisement, they bore the rebuke, they bore the judgment of that, didn't they? Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. See how I come to that conclusion, how that manna was a showing forth of what the Father would do in salvation and sending His Son. Isn't that something? He said, that manna coming out of heaven for 40 years to feed your fathers in the wilderness, that was a telling about my coming. I came down from heaven. I am that bread that gives life. I am that bread from heaven. We begin to see how great offense that the Lord took of their comment, their statement, their standing, and there in the Old Testament where they loathed that light bread. That was reflective of the Son. That was telling about the Son and what He would come. You know, in all of this, in all this disobedience, all this rebellion, all this rejection of God, praise God, He's faithful. Amen. It didn't make God quit, did it? You and me, or let me just say myself, it'd make me want to quit. But not the Lord. Because it's all part of His purpose and plan. Verse 51, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. It will only be by Him, by the giving of His body, His flesh, that sinners can be saved. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, they're thinking physically, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Is the Lord talking about being a cannibal? No. No. But He's talking about that our partaking of Jesus Christ is a greater partaking than that of us partaking of food that we need for the sustenance of these bodies. The partaking of Christ is completely and fully. It's in every whit, in every way. And that's the reason he likens it unto eating His blood. It's full partaking. I needed Jesus to come. Didn't you? I needed Jesus to live perfectly. Didn't you? I needed the Lord Jesus to give His life on the cross of Calvary. Didn't you? I needed Him to be buried and to prove that He was truly dead. Didn't you? Yes. I needed Him to raise from the dead so that I might live again. Amen? Didn't you? We did. We need everything He did. Well, I like the Lord's resurrection and that, but I don't really care much for that bleeding and that cross thing and that dying thing. I don't need that. You have no salvation. Because that showed how bad your sin is. That showed how bad my sin is. And that's what I needed to pay for my sin, was the King of Glory to pay a ransom for me. They strove amongst themselves, verse 52, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath, right now, eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Is it not in Corinthians? In 1 Corinthians, where the Scripture says that there were those of the children of Israel who were there, the entire camp drank of that rock. I don't know if it says there that they ate of that rock, but they drank of that rock, and they were fed by that rock, maybe. They were all there and partook of it physically. But there were only there few there that partook of it spiritually. You hear me? All this is tied together. All this is, once again, the Old Testament Scriptures, again, pointing to Christ. They partook of Him. And those men like Caleb and Joshua, Moses and Aaron, and then even though they disobeyed and it cost them going into the Promised Land, some of them, but they had faith in the Lord. They had faith in Him. Who was it that it says there in the passages that the Lord wasn't Maybe I'm getting some passages in Hebrews getting mixed up, but that the Lord was displeased with who? The ones that didn't believe. Faith. We come back right around to faith. Faith in the Lord. Verse 55, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." Well, there's some close fellowship, isn't there? Would the Lord dwelling in us and we dwelling in him? "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." Eating of that manna from heaven, that is Jesus. "This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Sinner, isn't that the manna you want? That's the manna you need. That's the manna that saved my soul and others that are here today and saved. That's the manna that has given life. Amen? And praise God, He supplied it right out of heaven. Him supplied Him right out of heaven. Amen? "These things said He in the synagogue as He taught in Capernaum." Look what it says here. "Many therefore of His disciples," in verse 60, "when they heard this, said," this is a hard saying, who can hear it? I can't stand him to talk like that. "It's not worth the free lunch. I think I'm going to go find my lunch somewhere else." Just thinking about the gut, thinking about their belly, not understanding about the need that they have spiritually. Who can hear it? It's not worth it. "When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Do this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" Remember, I think there's more than one ascension that the Scriptures bear out, the New Testament Scriptures bear out. I'm kind of thinking that maybe that there were even many more. The Lord was with His church for 40 days, back on and off, you know, reappearing. We have that there. One time He ascends up in Bethany, another time He ascends up in Galilee. Okay, and those are geographically two separate places. Check that out. Make sure I'm looking at that right. Tell you what, the disciples that went out there with the Lord and whenever He ascended up, they stood there going. They weren't offended by it, were they? Now, they were amazed by it and they marveled at it, so much so that the angels had to say, "Get with it. He's told you something to do. Go do it," right? To paraphrase. He said, in the way, and that last time He went up, He said, "This same Jesus is coming back the same way. As you've seen Him go up, He's coming back." They weren't offended at it. They said, "What if you would see me go up where I was before?" Again, He came down. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." And there it is again, John chapter 3. You must be born again, the moving of the Spirit. "It's the Spirit that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing." Here's the bottom line. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Can you receive it? Do you believe it? Child of God, aren't you thankful for it? Amen. Amen. He is that manna that came down from heaven. "But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." Again, sinner, you need God. Cry out unto mercy unto Him. Do you see you have a need? Do you see that you are a sinner? Do you hear the word of the Lord saying that you need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart? You need God. Oh, I pray that the Lord would move in sinners' hearts. Disciples go away, and then I can't leave this passage without reading this. Then said Jesus, verse 67, unto the 12. They stayed, didn't they? They knew about that real manna. That everlasting manna, didn't they? We also go away. And Simon Peter answered him, the answer of the saved, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There's nowhere else to go, Lord, but to you. You have the word of eternal life. You are eternal life. Where can we go that's better than you? And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the one that had been prophesied about, and that you are the Son of the living God. Not only are you the Son of Man, But you're the Son of God too. And we believe it. And we're sure of it. And we're holding fast in it. Jesus answered them, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" And of course, he knew about Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, that would betray him. Back in Numbers chapter 21. As we've seen a few times in Numbers chapter 21, verse number 6, verse number 5, "And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this life bread." In contrast to their parents, those that had come out of Egypt, that murmured against God, and the Lord blessed them with water and instituted that about manna, and he was long-suffering with them in that he didn't chastise them at that time. These that had seen the blessing of the Lord and the great deliverance and working of the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people in verse 6, and they bit the people, much people of Israel died. Because they slighted the Lord and his blessing and his provision for them. They had become covetous of another way. They had allowed themselves to become discouraged in the way rather than resting in the Lord, knowing that the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire was leading them the way that the Lord wanted to lead them. We've got to remember that. That the Lord had not departed from him. And who was that abode in the cloud? The angel of the Lord. I believe that whole thing about the cloud and that reference to the angel of the Lord is, again, the working of Jesus Christ before he came to this earth. That's what I'm of the opinion of. And so, therefore, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. It was a great offense. But they had murmured against God about his deliverance, about his salvation, about his provision. And they bit the people, these fiery serpents, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We've sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. You know what's blessed to see here? Is that they repented. They repented. That's good. The Lord chastised them. The Lord judged them there. He sanctified them. It cost the lives of some in the great way that they had blasphemed the Lord and blasphemed His Word and denying what the Lord had done for them. And they repented. They repented for what they had said. They repented for their attitude and their way. They had repented for how they had considered the Lord's manna and the water and how He had provided for them. They repented. And you know what? With repentance, there's a solution, a salvation from the Lord. And Moses made a serpent. Verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." What happened to the man, woman, boy, or girl that didn't look? They died. But if they looked, what happened? If they'd been bitten, they lived, didn't they? The Lord made a way of salvation. And you know what? The manna showed Jesus Christ. And even though they despised it, it didn't make the Lord quit, did it? But then they repented. The Lord dealt with them. He dealt with them in a severe way, and they repented. You know, if you're here and you're not saved, has the Lord dealt with you in a severe way with His Word? Repent of your sins. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever looked on the serpent lived. Everyone that was bitten when he looked upon it lived. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that the serpent had bitten any man. When he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. That's where we get that song, "Look and live. Back in John chapter 3, verse number 14. The Lord Jesus Christ dealing with Nicodemus. Dealing with him as a man that's a master, a rabbi, a teacher in Israel, and on the Sanhedrin. A man that's supposed to know about spiritual things. That's what that position was to be. Isn't that what Jethro advised Moses about that was acceptable to God for Moses in judging the people? That Jethro said, you're going to wear out doing this. Get you some men that are full of the Spirit of God. That's what he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be a man full of the Spirit of God. And the Lord deals with him that way. And, of course, the Lord knows all about him, knows what he needs. And then he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You know, it goes from being kind of complicated about this thing of being born again to very simple, isn't it? You ever notice that? Understanding about being born again. How can I be born again? I'm a man. How can I get back in my mother's belly? The carnal man doesn't receive the things of God. They're foolishness to him. I'd say it was foolishness to Nicodemus. But that's the wonder about the gospel, is that it's very simple. Look and live. As Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why did Moses lift up the serpent? Because that's the way the Lord made for them to be healed. And it was a showing forth of what Christ would do in being lifted up for the salvation of sinners.